we get going here, I'd like to welcome everyone participating in today's meeting or listening online. This meeting is streaming live on SD.net, a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. For the benefit of our online listeners, I request that all participants please identify themselves when speaking during the meeting. Participants should also remember to unmute their microphones only when speaking. The meeting is also being recorded, and the audio will be made available online following the meeting. To find the audio recording online, do a web search for South Dakota Boards and Commissions portal, follow the link, and select the name of the board. Which in this particular case, hopefully, everybody is here for the South Dakota State Emergency Response Commission meeting, March 28th, 2022, 10 a.m. Central, and 9 Mountain over here. My name is Dustin Willett. I'm currently the chair. And I would like to start with introductions. So we'll do a roll call right after this. So board members, we'll do our roll call afterwards. But folks that aren't board members, let's start with introductions. First in the rooms that we have. So they're in here.
Kelsey Newling with the South Dakota Department of Ag and Natural Resources.
Red Howard, Office of Emergency Management.
I'm Trish Kent, South Dakota Department of Ag and Natural Resources.
All right, we have another satellite. I am asking you there, Doug.
Doug Hinkle with the State Fire Marshal's Office. I'm sitting in for Paul Merriman.
All right, you'll be voting for Paul. Perfect.
Yeah.
Other folks on BDN or on their computer?
Good morning, Dustin. Jason Bowder, South Dakota Office of Emergency Management, proxy for Tina Titsy.
Becky Fitz with Poet.
Bree Boxeller with EPA Region 8 out of Denver.
Hey, Bree. Other federal partners?
And Jeremy Sambita from the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration Central Region. I'm kind of sitting in with Dan Richards, our community liaison.
Okay. So Dan.
Good morning, everyone. Matt Mitrovich, Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, DHS.
Morning. Other federal partners?
Dan Richards, FEMSA Central Region.
All right, anybody else that we've missed? We'll do the roll call for the board members here in just a minute, but any other folks on the meeting? All right, hearing none, Beth, can we do a roll call?
Sure. Ackerman?
Present, good morning.
Canyon? No. Humphrey? Kent?
Present.
Kruger?
Here.
Pitts.
Here.
Thomas. Bowder.
Here.
And Willett.
I am here. All right, so we do have a quorum. We'll be able to make the official work that we are tasked with this morning. Before we move on to the approval of the minutes and the rest of the agenda, I would ask the board, we do have a member that needs to step out. We do have some official business that we have to get on the docket. So I would ask that we move item 5, the LEPC roster review and appointments, up to item 4, and then we'll move our federal updates up to 5. So just switching items 4 and 5 We'll do the LEPC roster review prior to the federal updates. Is that okay with the board? Can we make that change to the agenda?
You would like a motion, Mr. Chair, I would make that motion to make the adjustments to the agenda.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second by Bowder.
Hey, Dustin.
Thank you. Yeah.
This is Kelsey. Currently, we do have a quorum. However, with the LPC rosters, we do have to split those votes out for those members, our board members that are members of their LAPCs. We do not have enough of a quorum to split out those votes. We're missing one member who I thought they were going to be here. I'm not sure what you would like to do.
Are there any of the rosters that we can do?
Yes.
Are there a couple of rosters we can pull out to make that work?
We would have to pull out the Pennington, drawing
Davison.
A blank on yours.
Davison.
Davison and McPherson, we will have to pull those out.
I would say we just move forward, pull those out, vote on the others, and catch up where we can catch up.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, I do have a motion and a second. Becky, roll call, please. I'm sorry, that old habits by heart.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Kent?
She just stepped out.
Hinkle?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
Browder?
Aye.
And Willett?
Aye, thank you. That agenda will stand as changed. Moving on to the approval of the December 2022 CERC meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody was in electronic receipt of those, had a chance to review. If anybody has any corrections to be made, please bring those forward. Otherwise, the chair will accept a motion to approve the minutes.
Pitts, I make a motion to accept.
I have a first. Is there a second?
Kent, second.
Thank you. Beth, roll call.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Kent?
Aye.
Hinkle?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
Bowder?
Aye.
Willett?
Aye. All right. So our next agenda item, number four, will be the LEPC roster review and appointments. As Kelsey has already pointed out, because several of the CERC members sit on those particular LEPCs, we remove ourselves from approving those. So the list that Kelsey sent out, the updated list, we will remove Pennington County, Davidson County, and McPherson County from that list. I would open the remainder of those counties, I'd open it up for discussion, and then a motion to accept those rosters.
Dustin, this is Kelsey. So we do have 9 LAPCs that didn't submit their rosters this year. Those counties include Aurora, Hawken, Jackson, Gerald, Lyman, Ogallala, Lakota, Sanborn, Todd, and Union. These counties, they're not very active, so a few of them have gone inactive since last year. That's mostly because they cannot generate enough interest to have their LEPCs. So those will be the ones that I will ask the CERC to appoint for those counties. We do have 2 counties, which Hughes and Stanley County and then Hyde County, they are reorganizing right now, so they have not submitted rosters. And they ask that we wait until our June meeting to approve their rosters. And then we do have 1 county that we are waiting for that was supposed to be submitting their roster, but we have not received it yet. So we will have to approve theirs at our June meeting as well. So what I would be asking the CERC for is approving the LEPC rosters, not including those three counties that for the CERC members, and then vote on waiting for the other three counties to approve at our June meeting. And then the last vote would be to appoint those LEPC rosters for those counties that did not submit and do not have LEPCs.
And the one county that we're waiting for?
That county would have to be approved at our June meeting. That is Millette County that we are waiting for.
And they've historically been active and submitted roster?
Yes, and we have talked to them, and they said that they are submitting. We just have not received it yet.
So the first motion that we would be looking for is, it was Hughes, Stanley, Millette, and what was the other reorganization?
Hyde County.
Hyde. So Hughes, Stanley, Hyde, Millette, Pennington, Davidson, and McPherson, looking for a motion to move the approval of those rosters to the June CERC meeting. Is that what?
Accurately move.
Okay.
That is correct, Austin.
I have a motion. Do we have a second?
Thank you, Mike Bowder.
Thank you. I've got a motion and a second to defer Pennington, Davidson, McPherson, Hugh Stanley, Hyde, and Millette to the June CERC meeting. Beth, a roll call, please.
Sure. Ackerman?
Aye.
Kent?
Aye.
Hinkle?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
Bowder?
Aye.
And Willett?
Aye. And then the second motion I'm going to be looking for is under state law, when the roster is not appointed for a county or submitted by a county for a LEPC, state law provides that LEPC is appointed. And I believe it's the chair of the county commission, the sheriff, and the emergency manager. Is that correct, Kelsey?
So we have in the past named the emergency manager, the state's attorney, the sheriff, and the county commission as the LEPC.
So I missed the SAO there.
Yes.
Yeah, so those four positions in a county are in our enabling legislation and state law. Those are the members that we appoint as the CERC when a county does not submit an LEPC roster. So I'm looking for a motion to appoint basically appoint an LEPC with those members, the emergency manager, state attorney, sheriff, and chair of the commission for those counties who have not submitted rosters. Kelsey, would you do me a favor and read off those counties?
Aurora, Hocken, Jackson, Gerald, Lyman, Oglala Lakota, Sanborn, Todd, and Union.
All right, so the chair is looking for a motion to appoint for those counties.
Hinkle will make the motion.
Thank you. I have a motion. Is there a second?
Ackerman will second.
Thank you. And I've been remiss. I haven't been asking for further discussion. I apologize. Any further discussion on that motion? Hearing none, Beth?
Ackerman?
Aye.
Kent?
Aye.
Hinkle?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
Bowder?
Aye.
And Willett?
Aye. And now, certainly not least, last but not least, the final motion is to accept or approve the remainder of the rosters that were submitted for the counties in South Dakota. So we've got some deferred till June. We've got several that we've appointed, and now the motion that I am looking for will be to approve the rosters as submitted for the remainder of the counties.
Powder will make that motion.
Kent
second.
I'm sorry, who was the second?
Hinkle will second.
Thank you. I've got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll vote. Beth, please.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Kent?
Aye.
Hinkle?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
Bowder?
Aye.
Willett?
Aye. All right, Kelsey, does that wrap up the item four, LAPC roster review and appointments?
Yes, it does.
Outstanding. Thank you all very much. Moving on to our federal updates, I'll just take these in the order that I heard the introductions. So, Bree with EPA.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. I pulled my notes here. Just wanted to throw out a thank you for your participation in the Western Regions Conference that we had. Of course, it was virtual this year, and really appreciate Dustin, you and Kelsey, just you know, what you shared and just your knowledge base, your participation. I know the rest of the region and really west of the Western half really looks at your guys' experience and values, what you can bring to the table. For the rest of you, the Western Regions Conference is a CERC and TURC conference that we partner with regions 9 and 8. We're region 8 and we partner with 9 and 10, so pretty much us out to the West Coast that we try to meet and, you know, share some of the issues, lessons learned, you know, reach out for resources, those type of things among the different CERCs. So next year's will actually be in person. We're very excited about that in Clark County, otherwise known as Las Vegas, January 24th and 25th. We haven't started planning any of the agenda items, but certainly if there are things that you're looking to discuss or anything like that, certainly let us know and we'll put that on the table and get that going. You might be well aware that the NASPO conference is coming up in Salt Lake, and that would be April 17th through the 20th. So I believe, Kelsey, you're going to that, and hopefully we'll see you too, Dustin. Definitely looking forward to that. You know, again, being in person, being kind of pretty much in our backyard, there was a lot of good agenda topics, so looking forward to that as well. And I can certainly forward on information. I did send out the quarterly newsletter on Friday, so if you did not receive it, if you want to get on directly on the email list, certainly let me know. I know we did a little snippet on the East Palestine spill. Since it's in another region, you know, we're definitely looking on the response.epa.gov website for updates and things like that. But I know our partners with Union Pacific and Burlington Northern are both definitely offering more trainings and trying to be at the forefront of anything like that. So there was an article about different options for that as well. On the regulatory side, unfortunately, there's no updates at the moment. The SCAP, the Safer Communities through Chemical, I'm trying to remember the acronym right now, but it was the RMP proposal changed for the RMP updates. The construct of the RMP rule itself remains the same as far as what we're under right now. So, you know, there's upcoming dates as far as some of the emergency planning between facilities and the locals. So that'll be something that we'll kind of see more movement on. But as far as any of the proposal going to final, I haven't heard the updates from headquarters. So absolutely, as far when I hear from that, I'll definitely pass that on. The Clean Water Act hazardous substance worst case discharge planning regulations, that long mouthful, that pretty much what we're calling FRP for chemicals to water. We just had the option selection meeting, so trying to make those final decisions on what the final construct of the rule will look like. That gets submitted to the Office of Management and Budget. Headquarters is hoping for the signature and publishing by the end of the year. You know, again, things move pretty slow on the federal side, so, you know, that's hopeful. I know we have to have final rule published and printed by September of 24, so at the very least, that'll happen before then. But if we start seeing movement ahead of time, I'll definitely let you know and pass that on accordingly. We're working right now, my colleague Ben Sheriff and I are working with Kelsey as far as developing some industry chemical safety webinar, these will actually be in person this year for South Dakota that will go through the state. And I don't know if Kelsey was going to give an update on that, but we're in the planning stages, so looking forward to narrowing down locations and you know, what we're going to come up with on that one, so stay tuned. We're looking, at least from the federal side, of possibly developing kind of a quick snippet, 90-minute, two-hour webinar-based type workshop that would roll in our TRI and enforcement partners as well. This would not be in lieu of anything that we're planning with Kelsey. This would reach out to some of the other states that, you know, we don't have that workshop developed yet. So, you know, at that point, we can certainly get that up and rolling. It wouldn't have the state basis, so that's why it's so great partnering with Kelsey, and we really value partnering with the state of South Dakota and doing these. I feel like the other states miss out not having that partnership, but we're looking to offer something that, you know, just at least some sort of training, kind of get the word out there, and then hopefully go from there. So we'll let you know if that is something that, if we have partners that cannot make the actual in-person workshops, if this is kind of a substitute, we'll let you know on that. A lot of you may be aware that the Wiser was retired. So if they're, now that there's kind of more of a focus on the use of Cameo, if there's needs for Cameo training, I know one of our colleagues in Region 1 is providing training. Tom Bergman also has training that he provides. But, you know, if there's also contractor dollars that there's a need for Cameo training that can be provided by us, certainly let me know if there's any interest there. Lastly, the regional response team is meeting in person at the Region 8 office here in Denver on April 11th. There is a virtual option, so if you haven't received the agenda, if you're not able to attend in person, certainly let me know and I can forward that on. This one, I think, will be a great meeting because we're kind of, you know, trying to reintroduce the back to basics, just to really establish everyone's roles. And you know, certainly if there's new people on RRT, this would be a great one to be a part of. The meeting itself is only going to be a full day because it's in conjunction with the Clean Waterways Conference. It's also in Denver that week that I know I've heard a lot of great things about, and there's a lot of great presentations. So if that's something that you can attend, I'd certainly welcome that as well. That's pretty lengthy update, but if anyone has any questions, certainly let me know.
Awesome. Thank you, Bree.
Thank you.
Kelsey, do you have any re-attack on the workshops? Anything you want to add to that while we're on the topic?
Yeah, so like Bree said, we were looking at doing those. We are looking at the week of July 17th, and those locations are tentatively, we need to finalize the schedule, but we are looking at Aberdeen, Rapid City, Brookings, and Yankton for those locations.
Awesome. And not to take anything away from the workshops that have been put together, it seems like years ago, with some of those industry workshops, we included some other federal partners. I think it might have been Fran at the time, Matt, that came up and gave a little spiel about CFATs. And I think we had our OSHA, state OSHA representative out of Sioux Falls at a couple of those workshops. Is there any talk about, I don't know, time-wise, if there's any time to carve out in those workshops, but having the DHS and OSHA partners I enjoyed that, at least in one meeting. I don't know if that's still something that we're looking at.
So we are actually, we do have OSHA scheduled as well. We need to throw around the idea of, we're possibly thinking of maybe a cybersecurity talk as well. We have asked about that in the past to see if there's any interest in that. So these are things that Bree, Ben, and I are in the works and talking about to finalize kind of an agenda type, you know, just who we're going to have and what's going on. So we do have OSHA for sure.
And Matt, I can throw out some previous agendas, or, you know, kind of give you an idea of what we've done in the past, just to give you a flavor of that.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. That'd be great. Yeah, then once an agenda is finalized or there, and I mean, I'm certain we can definitely help out and provide some expertise there.
Great.
Awesome. And yeah, I don't think, depending on schedules, it shouldn't be too hard of a lift at some point to do some workshops on cyber. South Dakota finally has its cyber protective individual that we stole from the state. He's a good guy and absolutely willing to come out and talk, I would believe. So plenty of opportunity there. Thank you for that update. Thank you for that follow-up, Kelsey. Moving on with DOT Pemsha, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Not hearing Jeremy.
Yeah, Dan's the guy that probably knows what's going on more than me.
So
I'm working on my third week at PHMSA. Just got picked up here after 23 years in the Air Force. But excited to be on board with PHMSA, and I'm a hazmat nerd, so some of the stuff y'all are talking about is near and dear to my heart. So I'm
going to turn the show over to Dan. Jeremy. And with that, I'll kick it over to Dan.
Hi, everyone. Sorry to put Jeremy on the spot there. He's out of the Dakotas, so if there's ever an incident, he'd probably be your first call there from PHMSA. What we've been doing a lot is chemical safety webinars, a lot of lithium battery webinars. So if you have any need for that in your area, we'd definitely be on board to help you out with that. A lot of our focus has recently been on tribal communities, tribal emergency response. So about 40% of our outreach has been focused this quarter to tribal response and helping them out with whatever needs they have as far as the HMR or grants information. So we're prepared to do presentations on emergency response guidebook or grants, whatever we're needed to do. We are restructuring, we're growing. We have a lot of new openings for investigators as well that we're trying to fill. So we're getting about 4 or 5 new investigators and about the same amount of community liaisons, as well as a few in our accident investigation division, which is growing. It started off really small, so if there's ever an incident in your area, you might be contacted by them, just to know that there are folks that handle the incidences and the accidents and just track it out, see if they're related to any kind of packaging issue or what we need to do as far as getting the help that you need. So that's really all I have. Thanks.
You were muted, Dustin.
Thank you so much. There's a meeting going on behind me. I'm trying to be respectful of the noise levels, and I got caught. Thank you for that. Moving on, Matt Sisson, please.
Hi. No CFAX or no rulemaking updates from the last meeting. So really just here for any questions, comments, concerns from the group, if there are any.
All right, copy that. Before we move on to re-attacks from the group, are there any federal partners that have jumped on to the meeting or the call or that I missed in our initial introduction? Any other federal partners? Hearing none, I'd like to open the floor to members of the CERC or members or attendees for the meeting. Any re-attacks or any questions for any of our federal partners, EPA, PEMGA, or CFAS and CISA? All right, hearing none, thank you all very much. It's a great part of the meeting. I enjoy hearing what's happening in the federal circles. So thank you for your attendance, and thank you for being willing to share out that information and be such a good partner to South Dakota. Moving on to the next item, number 6, which is the regional hazmat team update. I did not hear John groan in the introductions. John, have you jumped on in the interim?
He has not.
Did he pass on any type of update?
He did not have much of an update for this time frame. He said that they are very busy doing trainings, but he did not really have any hazmat updates as far as things going on other than training.
Gotcha. Yep. And on the training side of that, we hosted a Department of Energy sponsored radiological class, a MERC class. So basically radiological materials and transportation. And we had the DOE contractor and the Office of Secure Transportation. Some of those folks come out Really good training. Used some high-level sources. We used a water treatment facility that we've used several times here in Rapid City. But we had members of the South Dakota Task Force 1 hazardous materials team come across the state. So we had folks from Aberdeen out that came out for that three-day training. So, yeah, good stuff going on there. I don't think there's been any significant hazmat response outside of the bread and butter type stuff, the small-scale hydrocarbon spills, body recoveries. I haven't heard of anything significant in terms of hazardous materials response. Do any other members have any insight on hazmat happenings in terms of response in South Dakota? Hearing none, moving on to item 7, HMEP Grants Training and Planning Report. Mr. Rhett Howard.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Brett Howard. I work with the OEM office with the Hazardous Material Emergency Preparedness Grant. Not a whole lot to report for HMEP 22, which is the first year of a three-year grant cycle. We did have three requests for reimbursements from Connington County, which will complete their whole grant year of HMEP 22. Those checks should be arriving to them very soon. I know they've been processed through the finance office here in Pierre. Like I said, that is all that we've had so far, total of $4,500. HMEP 23, we just submitted our application to PHMSA. There's 10 participants that are applying for grants. Four of them are Task Force 1 fire departments, Aberdeen, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Watertown. Five counties. Four of those counties are getting hazmat plan updates, and one county is applying for a commodity flow study. So I hope to hear back from those guys sometime in August. That's usually about the time we hear back from them. Not a whole lot more to report, unless you have any questions.
Thank you, Rhett. I'd like to open the floor to any questions from the board for Rhett regarding HMEP grants. All right, hearing none, we'll move on to agenda item number 8, Tier 2 report submittals. Kelsey.
Yeah, so just as a reminder, the Tier 2 reports are reports for facilities that store hazardous substances and are required to file those on an annual basis. The reporting threshold for most substances is 10,000 pounds, but the threshold is lower for certain substances. The reason for these facilities to report is to ensure planners, responders, and the general public know what is stored in the local community. That reporting deadline was March 1st of 2023. This year it was pretty steady as for reports coming in since the first of the year. Every year we're seeing less paper reports, which is good as we're working really hard on pushing those facilities to report online. So as of today, we've received reports from 1,719 facilities. There's still a number of facilities that have not submitted their reports. We're in the process of contacting those facilities to see if they do not need to report anymore or if they just missed the deadline. So the summarized Tier 2 data is available to the general public online, and detailed data, including copies of the reports, is available to planners and first responders via our website. In the beginning of May, we will begin receiving the toxic release inventory reports, which are their TRI reports, and I will give an update on those at our June CERC meeting.
Thank you, Kelsey. Any questions for Kelsey on the Tier 2 submittals? All right. I know Trish had to step out, but did she pass on any updates on legislative acts that pertain to the CERC?
She did, so I will be giving those for her. So like Dustin said, Trish usually does our legislative update. She had to leave, so I will give that. Yesterday was the last day of session, so the 2023 legislative session is officially over. For the CERC update this year, we picked out a handful of bills that are in some way related to the CERC or the Department of Ag and Natural Resources. If anybody wants more information about any bill mentioned today, they can ask Trish or look at all of the year's session bills. You can see, find those on the legislative webpage. So we will start with Senate Bill 17. Senate Bill 17 was a bill to make appropriations for water and environmental purposes. There is a version of this bill every year because this is how funds are appropriated for the water development project grants and loans awarded by the Board of Water and Natural Resources. This bill added a couple of water resources projects to this list of projects considered important to the general welfare of the citizens of the state. The two new projects are Water Investment in Northern South Dakota Project and a Western Dakota Regional Water System Study. Other projects already considered important to the general welfare include Belle Fourche Irrigation Upgrade Project, Big Sioux Flood Control Study, Hydrology and Water Management Studies to manage and protect state water resources for current and future generations, Sendak Irrigation Project, Gregory County Pump Storage Site, Lake Andes Wagner and Marty Irrigation Unit, the Lewis and Clark Rural Water System, Sioux Falls Flood Control Project, and Vermilion Basin Flood Control Project. The bill also provided a little over $22.3 million in grant and loan funds for various water projects across the state. The additional $7.7 million is converting the loan to a grant, which is not new funds. That bill was signed by Governor Noem on March 15th. Senate Bill 18 was an act to revise the appropriation for livestock and equestrian complex at the state fair. The bill did just that. It authorized and appropriated funds for construction of the Dakota Event Complex, also known as DEX, at Huron. As we all know, inflation is causing the cost of everything to go up. This bill was signed by Governor on March 19th. Senate Bill 20 authorizes the awarding of deobligated grants in accordance with policies of Board and Water and Natural Resources. Essentially, it funds were awarded to a particular system or municipality, but they end up not needing the funds. The Board of Water and Natural Resources can award those funds to another system or municipality. This bill was signed on March 6th. Senate Bill 92 requires that certain operations obtain their own general or individual water pollution permits. This bill requires businesses that process manure or wastewater to be permitted. An example of a business that processes manure is digesters that produce biogas, which would be methane, carbon dioxide, and hydrogen sulfide from manure. This bill was signed on February 27th. House Bill 1127 was an act to make an appropriation to support volunteer fire departments. The bill appropriated $5 million to the Department of Public Safety for the purpose of providing grants to support volunteer fire departments in this state. Looks like the funding for the purchase of PPE, and it looks like departments can be considered voluntary if at least 70% of the firefighters are unpaid volunteers. This bill was signed on March 16th. House Bill 1209 was an act to revise provisions regarding industrial hemp. The bill did a few things, but the main point was that it proposed raising the maximum allowable limit of THC in intermediate hemp products from 1% up to 5% THC. This bill was delivered to the governor on March 6th and was vetoed by the governor. Again, yesterday was the last legislative day. The legislator failed to overturn the governor's veto, so that one did not pass. House Bill 1239 prohibited a ban of fuel gas appliances used by consumers. The bill did just that. It said no local ordinance or regulation may prohibit the use, production, manufacture, or transport of fuel gas appliances within the state. This bill was signed by the governor on March 14th. Those are just a few bills that, you know, kind of fit in with the CERC and our department. So I encourage everyone to visit the legislator's website and Governor Noem's website. She has summarized the bills she signed and those that she has vetoed. And there is a rationale provided for the bills that she has vetoed. You can see all of those by going to governor.sd.gov. And that concludes the legislative update for 2023.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris. And I apologize if I missed it. Was there anything on the, so I don't know if the legislature even took it up with the eminent domain with the carbon sequestration pipeline? Do we know where that project stands?
I personally do not know.
Okay. We'll follow up on that. Any other questions regarding a legislative update? With that, I'll open it up to public comment. Any comments for the public, for any members of the CERC?
Dustin, we do have another member here. Would we like to go back to those three rosters for you guys to pass that were CERC board members?
Do we have, Trish ran away. Do we have somebody that replaced Trish and then another?
Sean Kruger is here, so we have, does it work out? No, it does not work out, sorry.
Yep. So yeah, we will come back to that in our June meeting. Thank you, and I would have loved to, but we lost one and gained one, so net zero. Other business, I've got a couple of just comments or thoughts, and then we'll open it up for other board members that have some comments and thoughts. So out here at Pennington, we're going to have a PFAS town hall this evening. We've got a commissioner who is affected by some of that contamination, and so that commissioner is very tip of the spear in terms of what's happening with Ellsworth Air Force Base and EPA and local entities on PFAS, PFOA contamination. So there is this will be the second town hall that has been hosted West River. So tonight, I don't have the time in front of me. I think it's, I should have that time right in front of me. But there is a PFAS town hall tonight out here. I have a question about the pipeline, but we'll follow up with that. And then the other couple of things. I know we get, as a CERC, we get a report from the higher tier railroads on the high hazard flammability trains and those cars that come into South Dakota. Some of the questions that we're starting to feel as Pennington and a few other counties start working through commodity flow updates or commodity flow studies is what's the accessibility of the smaller regional rail lines in terms of any potentially hazardous cargo, and how do we go about getting that information? So my guess is there'll be some questions that the CERC may have to help answer to some of the LEDCs in terms of how we get commodity flow information from rail lines outside of the high hazard flammability train mechanisms. And then the last thing that I had was, and it goes right hand in hand with our rosters and some of those other pieces of having an LEDC function at the county level. And that is, I think this year at our EN conference, we'll probably have, I don't know if we have the time carved out yet, but we're looking at the possibility of doing some education with our EN community about the options to house some of that in WED EOC. So Lynn Rath with Office of Emergency Management, thanks both to Jason and Tina for supporting that. But Lynn Rath did a bunch of work in getting those boards set up within WED EOC. And so now I think it's a matter of talking with LEDCs and emergency managers and populating that board in WED EOC with those documents that will help in the continuity of the functions of our LEDCs. So those are the comments that I have written down as notes. Any other business from CERC members?
Dustin, this is Kelsey. A few comments on your comments. We do have at least one representative from our department going to that town hall meeting tonight. Andrew Fox will be there. And Bree did make a comment that it looks like the town hall starts at 4 p.m. today, if that sounds about right. Also, I do have a notification from Burlington Northern sitting on my desk about the trains going through the counties. I do need to get that out to the CERC members. So I do have an update with that, and I will send that out when we get done here. And I think the last comment that I have is our next meeting is June 27th at 10 a.m. Central.
I'm just looking really quick. I hope I'm back by then. I'm on vacation. I'm trying to figure out when I'm on vacation. All right. So, any other comments by CERC members before we wrap things up? Thank you, Kelsey. I'll get back to you on that June date. I think that's going to be good. I think I'm back by then.
Okay.
All right. Well, under an hour, looks like about 50 minutes. Again, thank you everybody for your time and attendance. Again, thank you to our federal partners and lots of good information shared. At this time, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Ackerman moves.
Have a second?
Second.
All right, Beth, the roll call to take us out.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Hinkle?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
Bobber?
Aye.
Willett?
Aye.
Kruger?
Aye.
All right. Thank you all very much. We'll see you at the next CERC meeting, if not before. Yeah.